Hello, am I speaking with Sophie?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Sophie. It's Aaron calling you from INS Law. How are you?
I am not too bad, thanks.
That's good. Sophie, I'm just giving you a call in regards to the inquiry that we have received from the Scottish Redress Scheme, just about your time in care. Okay, so I'm just going to go through the application process with yourself and grab some generic details to start off with for data protection, if that's okay. Okay, perfect. So I've got your first name here as Sophie, and it's the surname Maya, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. And do you have any middle name, Sophie?
Joy.
Is it J-O-Y?
Yeah.
Yep, okay. And how am I best titling you? Is it Miss, Mrs. or MS?
Miss.
Miss, okay. And then I've got your email address here as sophiemaya9@gmail.com.
Aye.
Perfect. And what's your date of birth, please, Sophie?
It's the 11th, 1996.
The 11th of what, sorry?
November.
1996. Okay, perfect. Okay, and what's your current home address, please, Sophie?
41 Lewis Terrace.
Could you spell that road name for me, please?
L-E-W-I-S.
L-E-W, Lewis Terrace. Is that Irvine?
Aye.
Yep, okay, perfect. Okay, perfect. And the communication preferences that you can receive from myself, are we okay to send you emails and texts as alongside phone calls?
Aye, that's fine, huh?
Perfect, okay. And is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of?
No.
No, okay. Would you like to add a beneficiary to your application at all?
No.
No, okay, that's absolutely fine. Okay, and can you remember the address that you lived in prior to being placed in care? It's okay if you don't remember the address, even the town that you lived in.
I know the address. It's across the road from where I stay now.
Sorry?
It's across the road from where I stay just now.
Ah, right, okay, fair enough.
It's 26 Mull Crescent. M-U-L-L.
Crescent. Perfect. Thank you for that. Okay. What's the name of the GP surgery that you're registered at, please?
The Eglinton practice.
Is that Kilwinning Road?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. And am I able to grab the names of your mum and dad, please, if known?
Right. My mum is... Well, I take it, would you need my mum's maiden name or marriage name?
I'll take both, just in case it's a registered difference with the authorities.
Right, well, our maiden name is Carolyn McGeechy, so it's C-A-R-O-L-Y-N.
Yep.
McGeechy's M-C-G-E-A-C-H-I-E.
Say that again, sorry, you've gone a little bit low there.
Oh, sorry, our maiden second name's M-C-G.
Yep.
E-A-C-H-I-E.
Okay, that's fine. So the first name's Carolyn? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
And then my dad, well, he was always absent in my life, but he is on my birth certificate. So he's Keith, and then Maya.
Okay, that's not a problem. And was you known as known of any other names during your time in care?
No.
No, okay, that's absolutely fine. Have you changed your name legally by DePaul or marriage at all?
No.
No. Okay, that's fine. Have you applied to the Scottish Government for the advance payment scheme at all?
No.
No. Okay, that's not a problem. Okay, Sophie. So, I do appreciate that discussing experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting, but please take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanation, support, or prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call, okay?
Okay.
All right. And is there any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you need to make me aware of?
No.
No, okay, not a problem. And just to inform you as well, Sophie, that these calls are recorded for training and quality purposes.
Okay,
so the purpose of today's call, Sophie, is to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you and your options around the scheme. I'll also explain to you how INS law operates on your behalf. I'll also discuss our funding and fees, and I'll also gather initial information to assess whether we may be able to assist you.
Okay,
so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us, but you are entitled to three options when it comes to the Redress Scheme. Option one is that you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two is that you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. Under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application, regardless of whether you are successful or not with that application. INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us being option three, you would be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. I do just want to clarify at this stage, Sophie, do you have any other representation in regards to this redress scheme?
No.
No, okay, so you haven't applied elsewhere or been in touch with another law firm or anything?
No.
No, okay, that's fine. Being option three, our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. So what that means is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything to us. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything to us either. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees would only consist of basic charges based on the time and effort spent with your case, and also a success fee as well. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment, so you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap of 19.2%.
Okay.
So it is important that I make it clear that we cannot guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award that the scheme may award you, but the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I will explain in greater detail during this call for you. If instructed, what we can assist with whether you're eligible to apply to the Redress Scheme, what we'll do is we'll gather and review all the evidence told via this phone call, and then we'll prepare and submit this application on your behalf to the Scottish Redress Scheme in order to obtain an application number. We have the full correspondence with the Redress Scheme in terms of later down in the process. We'll give you any advice on any offer made from the Redress Scheme themselves, and we'll also explain the statutory waiver to you if an award is offered. We'll also offer any assistance with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme. So what that statutory waiver is that I've just briefly mentioned is if a redress offer is made and accepted by yourself, then you then can't go and take out any civil claims relating to the matters that have already been dealt with within this redress scheme.
Okay,
so does that make sense to you? Is everything all okay?
Yeah,
Yeah, perfect. Did you have any questions for me so far?
No.
No, that's fine, okay. Well, Sophie, you do have a right to cancel like everybody else. So if you do decide to proceed, you do have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements. You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately whilst your cancellation rights still remain. If that is the case, Sophie, would you like us to start work immediately straight away?
Yeah.
Yep, okay, perfect. Okay, what we'll also need from yourself, Sophie, is we'll need to verify you for verification purposes and also for anti-money laundering regulations. So we'll need a copy of your ID and proof of address as well. So whether that be a driver's license, a passport, a birth certificate, or you can send three forms of ID if you don't have any physical ID. But with the proof of address, it's just dated within the last 3 months of today's date. If it's easier for yourself as well, you can just send us pictures via WhatsApp and I can upload them to your file, no problem.
That's fine, no worries.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through your care settings with you. Okay, as I said, this is prior to the 1st of December 2004. So if you was in care after 2004, unfortunately that would fall out of the redress scheme, but we would still be able to assist you with anything relating to care prior to 2004.
Right. Aye, that's right. Well, I was in care before 2004 and after. But obviously because of my age, I mean, I kind of worked it off the top of my head what age I was in 2004, but obviously I was still quite young. So, I mean, obviously there is some things I can remember, but whereas because it's before 2004, there's some things that obviously I can't fully remember as such because I just try and obviously try, I've no thought about it, do you know what I mean?
I completely understand that, and it's completely okay if you don't remember. Obviously, we're not expecting you to remember, you know, each and every detail. And obviously, I understand personally, you know, you were quite young when you've gone into care, so it's just what you can remember today. It's obviously just any details that you can tell me in a minute. And then we also do. A bit of a more in-depth witness statement. I just get a brief statement from you now, just a, you know, a few details of what's happened, seeing if you're applicable. But my colleagues who work alongside me, they'll be the ones to obtain your records of each care setting, any medical records that, you know, for being post-care, anything that's, you know, affected you, just say, for instance, you know, mental health, the effects of what care has, you know, can potentially have on you. We link that all as, like, you know, support and evidence. So when we come to that, you know, in-depth witness statement, if you know, if you have any further recollection of anything that's happened during your time in care, then you know, you'll have a kind of a second chance to, you know, tell them stories.
Aye. It was just while you were talking there as well. 2004, I would have been 7. But obviously, I was in care from 1999 until 2012, I think. I was 17. So, from 1999 to 2012, I was in care. So, there was seven years were obviously under 2004.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Can you potentially remember the first care setting that you was placed in at all?
It was Hartley Place Children's Home. When I was 3.
Okay, I'll just grab some details of that now. Was that in Saltcote, North Ayrshire?
Yeah,
okay.
My sister was with me then, but then we got split up and we didn't see each other again. Whether that's your stay or not.
I mean, by all means it is, yeah, because obviously it's separation from your family, which is quite traumatising being in the care centre as well.
I mean, even still now that we're 29 and 30, I mean, I still don't see her. Do you know what I mean? And obviously it's impacted on my children because they don't have their only auntie. And obviously the likes of myself, she's my only sister and her child is obviously my only nephew.
Yeah, no, of course. Do you know, have you not got no contact with your sister, no?
No, not.
Have you tried to reach out?
Kind of, aye, but because we get separated, we just left it at that. Like, we don't know life, obviously, together. But,
yeah.
It's just one of the things I've just always dealt with.
Yeah. No, of course, obviously, because from what obviously you're telling me there, obviously you want that kind of communication back with your sister, don't you?
Aye. Aye, because we
Yeah.
get separated when we were 3 and 4. And
Yeah.
then after then, it was only yearly contact we got. And then we never seen each other again.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, sorry to hear that, Sophie.
Okay, it's all right, it's like that.
Yeah. When you was placed into Harley Place, was that 1999, was it?
Yeah,
Yeah, and how long was you there for?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you exactly because obviously I was only 3.
Yeah.
But obviously I was in and out of care. And then I went back there when I was 14.
You went back when you was 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So can you remember where else you was placed after Harley's place, or was that like a bit of a blank for you?
It's a bit blank because obviously I get pulled about everywhere. But then I was fostered for 4 years, and with obviously a family. So I had my foster mum and dad,
Yeah.
from when I was 9 until I was 13.
Okay. So that foster care just falls out of the 2004 bracket, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Say 2005. Okay, so what I'll do at the minute then is, for now, I'll put Harley Place down.
Okay.
The least we can do on your behalf is obtain care records for you.
Yeah.
And what I can potentially do is put a note on your file just to say, obviously, when you do get your care records back, we can get in contact with you and just go through, your placements potentially. And then see if it kind of builds a bit of like a path for you, and like a bit of a memory jog, and see if anything comes to mind. Would that be okay with yourself?
Yeah, that's fine,
Yep, okay then. So what I'll do for you, Sophie, is I'll just grab some information in regards to your time in Harley's place, and obviously see if you have any recollection at all. Obviously, I do understand you're quite young when you were placed there, but whenever you're ready, just talk me through what you can remember.
Back then, obviously, like you say, I was like a toddler, so there's not really much I can remember other than basically I can vaguely remember being in a room where obviously nowadays you're only in a bedroom with like your siblings. But I think there was about a good 5 or 6 of us like in the one room.
Yeah.
I can just always remember being obviously dead scared because obviously I was 3 and I was in a children's home with like 15, 16-year-olds. And I can just constantly remember kind of being picked on as well because I'm mixed race. So obviously I've got a dark like colour of skin. I'm half Bangladeshi.
Yeah.
So I can just always kind of remember getting picked on because obviously my skin colour, getting picked on, like that was all for staff and young people. I can remember like just hundreds of shouting and screaming, and I can just always remember being constantly petrified. I used to get hurt and stuff like that as well. Again, that was all for staff members and other children.
You was hit by other staff members, would you?
I and children as
Yeah, okay.
well. And I like the staff would wake me up as well, like banging and putting the pots and pans and stuff like that. And they would come into your room and start just banging them to wake me up.
Yeah.
And I can just always remember being dead scared. That obviously that's why I was only wee, so I can't really remember that much. And then obviously there's been that much trauma after then, because now I've obviously got a personality. No, it's not obvious, but I've got a personality disorder, and I've got ADHD. Yeah. So obviously that's impacted my memory because there's been that much trauma as well after that I've tried to obviously not think about it, so I've forgot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does make sense. And you just kind of like grow that cloudiness then from that time, and you try and live for like today rather than your past, don't you?
Aye, especially because I'm a mum now. Like myself, obviously, I've got three wee boys.
Yeah.
So obviously, I try and, you know, think about what happened in the past, but what I've went through has made me the parent that I am. Like, I'm very overprotective. I don't let them go anywhere. I've got them in track of, like, anybody that knows me knows my kids, and they know that I would do anything if anybody hurt them, because I was hurt as a child.
Yeah,
and I didn't have that protection off my parents.
Yeah, well, be proud of yourself for that trophy, because obviously it just takes some courage in itself to be a parent. You know, I'm a parent myself, and it takes a lot of courage to just, you know, be a parent, but then to be protective and be that someone to your kids that, you know, someone wasn't to you is, you know, it's massive. So,
I mean, my oldest is nearly 11, and he's still basically not allowed to speak to play. and in a way, it's a shame for him, but I'm like, I try and know like, what I went through affects the future, but I just see that the world's a bad place, do you know what I mean? Because after I went through, the system was supposed to look after you, and they didn't. So I don't trust anybody.
Yeah, no, of course, and that's a perfectly understandable way to be.
But I try my hardest to know where it impacts the boys, but in a way as well, I'm lucky I've got boys and no girls, because I think I would be up to high though if I had a girl. But it's hard now that I'm a mum. I didn't think it would be that hard.
Yeah, no, I do. I understand that. I've got my daughter. I've got a stepdaughter, and I've got a 2-year-old son. And I honestly do, like, you know, I'm a human behind the phone as well, and I'm absolutely petrified for my girls to grow up and be in the world that we're in today. It's not the nicest at all.
No, it's a horrible feeling, like I say. I've got the feeling that it's not as bad having boys, so I'm having girls, like, oh God, like... No, I couldn't even imagine it.
I know. I can't even imagine it for myself.
I know, my heart gives it to you.
Oh, thank you. All I can do is obviously, the power that you've got as well is just be protective for them, and it's just obviously be that man
for them. Aye, definitely has. And I think it may impact you when you're an adult, because obviously you see things from an adult's perspective, whereas when you're a child, you just think it's normal, and it's not until you're an adult, you look back and you're like, no, wait a minute, like, that wasn't right, like, do you know what I mean? So I think it's got more of an impact on you as an adult than what it has when you're a kid.
Yeah, it does. It does, and then obviously, again, especially when you have the children, like, you've lived them experiences of when you was their age, mm-hmm. and what you were going through at their age. So, I completely understand that.
Aye. I mean, when I first had my oldest, I didn't let anybody hold him. Nobody was allowed to touch him. I didn't even let his grandparents meet him. Like, my mum, I didn't even let her meet him because of everything that she'd done to us growing up. And I felt the feeling of the love of having a child. And I was like, how could you actually do that to me and my sister?
Yeah.
So I didn't even let her, even as much as breathe the same air as them, because she was just pure evil. You know what I mean? Like, I seen her in a totally different way after I had my oldest son.
Yeah.
You see the world in a totally different light after you've had a child.
But it's
hugely, hugely impact me and my children's life. And I've tried not to let it impact their life, but it has, because I'm that overprotective and things like that, but
yeah. But you know what though, I understand you're saying it. Obviously, it's affecting them to some sort of degree. But at the same time, it's, you know, you're just showing that protectiveness again that, you know, you really didn't have, and you know be thankful that you're able to give that to your kids.
I know.
It's a bit, you know, it's one of the biggest superpowers that especially a mum can have. for the kids.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm actually standing at the window right now watching my middle boy playing. Like I say, they're not allowed at the street, so I've got to watch them without them noticing that I can see them.
yeah, no, I understand that.
It's bad, it's terrible, but that is what it is.
Yeah, that's all you can do is just take day by day, can't you? That's all you can do. So I can have the obviously the details of Harley Place, obviously. So you're saying that your memory is a bit vague, but from what you can remember, you were picked on by all the kids and staff because of your skin colour. You remember being petrified every day, waking up, and obviously basically not knowing what would happen or be said to you really. But then obviously you said the staff members will come into your room with pots and pans to wake you up. I have had a day that would mess with you mentally. I know you haven't explained that, but put myself in your shoes.
I'm quite a jumpy person. Like, feel like if I get a fright, or I'm quite scared easily, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course.
But so I don't know if that's where it stems from and stuff like that. Obviously because you're getting woken up. So obviously I would wake up with a fright.
Yeah.
So I'm quite a jumpy person and an anxious person.
Yeah. What would the obviously in terms of the staff members coming into your room and whatnot, did you suffer, if you can remember, any sort of physical abuse? Did anyone hit you or beat you up in any way?
I can remember getting hurt and stuff like that, but I can't as such really remember any sexual abuse or anything like that. But I can remember being hot and stuff.
Okay, so would you remember them? You getting hurt. Tell me what it is that you can remember or feel in the terms of who and how.
I can just remember some of the staff members just hitting you, without been getting into trouble, shoving you, kicking you, pushing you about, stuff. But like I say, you didn't really need to have done anything as such. It was just randomly. Again, I think that's why I'm such a jumpy person. I kind of flinch if somebody moves too quick beside me. They would just kind of do stuff like that, shove you about and pick on you and that. And I just weren't very nice, physically hurting you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so if you're obviously you're saying you'd be shoved and kicked by staff members for being in trouble, for obviously which you thought was minimal amount of trouble that you may have caused, obviously would you feel feeling like it's not necessary really for what you may have done.
I was only a toddler, so it's like you say, you've got a 2-year-old wee boy. I've been a mum myself. I'm my God, it's a 3-year-old. How can you really give a... obviously, you can tell them off and go, no, that's bad. That's naughty. You don't do that. But you don't shout and scream at them or, proper give them into trouble because it's only a 3-year-old. They don't know any different. It's just not right. Like I say, now I'm an adult. I see things different.
Yeah, no, I know, I completely understand that. Okay, I know, obviously, I know we're going back quite some time here, but can you remember if if you got regular showers or baths, anything like that, was you treated any way of in terms of being rejected of that?
No, I couldn't comment, no.
Yeah, no, of course.
No, no idea. But again, with being such a young age, like, this is the kind of things that I question. It's like, well, how did I get bath or showered? Because I'm for sure, I wouldn't trust my 3-year-old in a bath or a shower on their own.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? And these are the things that, because there's some things I can't remember, and I'm like, right, well, if that's the way that I was treated, then what actually happened to me when I was getting bath or showered?
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So like I say, when me thinking about it over the years, I'm like, well, if I was slapped about and called this and that, like in public or in front of people, then what if it was an all male staff that was on? Because obviously back then there was no regulations. Like obviously nowadays, like a 3-year-old wouldn't even get it, a children's home nowadays, but say for talking sake, there would be another female on that shift to do the kind of stuff, or a carer would come in or whatever. But whereas back then, it's like, what would happen if it was an all-male shift? Who would have asked or showered me? Would that have been a man? Or would I just been left? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, of course.
So it's not until I've been older, like to say, like, I totally question everything, like, anything, like, who even brushed my hair? So they're trying, in my head, but the guys just have their hands on me all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or even going to the toilet. Yeah. Like, some 3-year-olds are obviously still potty training. So, how did they go about that if it was an all-male shift? Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
So this Harley place, are you saying that was that a more male-dominant staff kind of place, was it, yeah?
Aye, most children's homes back in the day were male orientated. I don't know. Like, it's things that have always played in my mind. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, now that I've probably explained it to you, you've probably thought, oh, aye, it kind of makes sense. Like, but you've probably never thought about it before.
Yeah.
So we're being 3 in a children's home that's predominantly males. It probably explains why I am the way I am nowadays, with being so overprotective and stuff with my kids.
Yeah, no, of course. But what I've put on you know, a little bit of an addition to this kind of brief statement, Sophie, is, you know, I've just put, I do question on how I was bathed/showered at this age, as I don't personally remember, but if I was disciplined the wrong way, then how would I have been looked after in terms of being bathed? I question this because the facility was staffed with males.
It predominantly was males.
Yeah,
nowadays, I mean, it's a good mix, but it's still predominantly males. Because obviously you need to be strong and stuff to obviously restrain and be able to, it's the authority figure, isn't it? So children or misbehaved kids are more likely to listen to a man than what they are a woman, especially if it's a misbehaved young boy. They're going to pick their fights with a man than what they are a woman.
Yeah.
So still now, I would say the care system is predominantly men.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll skim through a little bit and read out a little bit of like an overall of what I've put in this statement for you, and just, you know, tell me if you would like anything changed, if I'm missing anything, if there's anything you'd like to add, anything like that. So obviously, yeah, you know, you start off your journey there quite young. You remember being picked on by all the kids and staff because of your skin colour. You remember being petrified. You know, you was woken up with pots and pans, people coming into your room. You remember being shoved and kicked by staff members for being in trouble, for which you thought wasn't necessary for the minimal amount of trouble that you may have caused. With it only being a toddler and being shouted at and screamed at, or, you know, physically being hurt, was not necessarily discipline to be given to a 3-year-old. And then obviously, yeah, just what I've put in addition to that, which I've just read out, you know, obviously you do question on how you was bathed or showered at this age, as you don't personally remember. But if, you know, if you were disciplined the wrong way, then, you know, how would you have been looked after in terms of being bathed? Obviously, you do question this because the staff was predominantly males. Does that sound accurate? Can you, you know, do you have any further recollection, anything you'd like to add?
Just really as well, that the psychological impact it's had on me in terms of obviously my sister.
Oh, yeah.
God, here I'm going to start greeting again. Anytime I mention my sister, this is what I try.
It's okay. Literally, let it out if you need to. Just take your time.
No, I've had 29 years greeting. again, just because obviously it's psychologically impacted me and my kids. I mean, obviously, I've managed to get, after my sister had her baby, well, he's not a baby now, he's sick. But after she had him, I managed to get a couple of pictures, off of my mum, because we've obviously got the same mum. And I mean, that's all I have. So obviously, even with the kids, because obviously I showed them, and I was like, that's your baby cousin. And even to them, still now, they still ask about the baby. And I need to tell them, look, he's not a baby anymore, he's now sick. But to them, they've not seen this wee baby grow. So they just still think that he's still a baby. And like I say, it's impacted my children. We'll get a plaster. Sorry, my oldest has just come in to say, cut his knee.
That's okay.
It doesn't eat anymore. Look at the colour of your hands, get them washed. Right, I'm on the phone, right, get yourself sorted. So like I say, it's impacted then the next generation because the whole carry on with my sister.
Yeah.
So obviously the psychological impact and loss that I've had again in my only sibling.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that.
Other than that, though, that's all. I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, no, of course. So what I put at the bottom there for you is, with being in this facility so young, I was placed here with my sister before we got split up. This really impacted me psychologically and impacts me to this day and also has a ripple effect onto my kids.
Aye, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, obviously that...
Is it something to do with... Aye. Right, guys, please get out. This room has just been plastered. It's all wet. Get out. Out. Now remember the baby sleeping. Sorry, they all decided to come in at the one time.
It's okay. That's why I'm obviously just letting you deal with that a minute. It's okay. Take your time.
It's because my oldest noticed I was crying as well. And he was like, are you okay? And then because he heard me say my sister, he's like, was it something to do with Amy? So I'll need it in case he thinks there's something wrong with my sister.
That's understandable. I hope you're okay though, Sophie. Just take your time.
I'm fine. Like I say, it's been 29 years, so I'm all right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. The four types of abuse that the scheme look at is neglect, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse. You've suffered quite a bit of emotional abuse at a young age, and also you know the physical abuse from the other kids, the staff members.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so based on what you've told me, of course we can assist you within this scheme, but also you know there's two types of payments when it comes to the redress scheme. There's a fixed payment of up to £10,000, which is basically just a fixed amount regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. But there's also an individually assessed payment of up to £100,000. So that's decided by a closed panel, depending on the level of abuse that you've suffered. And they look at the abuse that you've suffered and with support and evidence and records from what we have provided on your behalf. I'd like to pursue the individually assessed payment for yourself, especially with you being into care with so young. I feel like you're more than applicable of £10,000. So I'm going to put you forward for that one, okay?
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
That's okay. Have you received any relevant payments in regards to criminal injuries or been awarded by court for damages or anything to do relating to the abuse that you've suffered during your time in care?
No, nothing.
Okay. And do you have any criminal convictions at all?
Aye.
Okay. My next question is, have you spent any, obviously with your convictions, have you spent 5 or more years in prison for your convictions?
No, thank you.
No, okay. That's absolutely fine. That's not a problem at all. Any obviously minor convictions is you know not
aye,
exactly
they
nothing
are,
compared
they are
to.
minor. It's only breach of the peace and a sectarianism. It's nothing. It's not like drugs or violence or anything like that.
Yeah. No, the you know the scheme obviously yeah, you know if you'd been you know charged with murder, attempted murder, rape or sexual assault, anything like that, the scheme you know obviously they'll take that into account, but it doesn't exactly stop your application itself, but it, you know it can reduce it of course, being understandable. But obviously, with you not spending more than five or more years in prison, that's completely fine.
No, I've never been in like actual trouble.
yeah, no, fair enough. Okay, so just making sure I've got everything before I send these forms out to you. Got that there. Okay. So what I'm going to do for you, Sophie, is I'm going to send you this out via email. This is going to basically be a few documents attached. And for you to sign them, it's just an electronic sign on your phone with a scribble of the finger. What you'll receive is a client care letter from ourselves. That's just basically just a hi and welcome. This is what we do for you. Okay. There's also a conditional fee agreement, which explains the percentage, the capped percentage that I mentioned earlier, which is the 16% plus VAT, which totals 19.2%. That just breaks it down for you and gives you the clarity that obviously we won't take anything more. As I said, that is a capped percentage. There's also a letter of authority in there as well, which is just basically you giving us the right to act on your behalf in obtaining your records from your GP, your social care records, anything like that we need to obviously give or use as support and evidence. And then obviously, yeah, we've got the WhatsApp chat there for your ID to come over to ourselves, so your ID and your proof of address, and I can upload that to your file. So you'll receive the link via a text message as well as email, but you can open it via, you know, from the text. You just click the link and it'll bring up the forms. It's quite self-explanatory in terms of, you know, there's a box at the bottom that guides you onto how many fields are required left to sign. And if you by any means get that back to me, before 4:30 today, I can get your application sent off today. And then there's literally about a 2 or 3 week wait to obtain that application number for you on your behalf. I'll send these forms out to you. If you do need any assistance or anything like that, just give me a call and I can talk you through it, no problem. And then I'll send you a message on WhatsApp now with the required proof of address and proof of identity that we require. And then once that's sent to me, I'll upload that to your case file as well.
Right, no problem.
No problem, Sophie. Is there any questions for yourself at all?
No. I think you're following that.
Okay, perfect. Well, yeah, we're here to help you. We'll help you get your story listened to, and do what we you know do our absolute best to build the best case that we can for you. So yeah, if you do need me at all, you just give me a call on this number. Make sure you save it so you don't think it's not us calling you in the future. As I said, my name's Adam, so I'll be here to assist you along the way.
Okay, thanks very much.
Not a problem. So for you, go and enjoy your afternoon, and thank you very much for your time.
Right, thank you. You too.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye now.